We're holding on Nun Zion Omid Bey's three lines from the bottom. We talked yesterday about, now in our Mishnah, we had cases where a person has to, in our Mishnah and in a later Mishnah in our Perek, we're going to have cases where a person shaves at the end, where a person shaves because he was a Nazir, even though there's a Suffolk. In our Mishnah, we had the case where you have two Nazirim, one of them is Tameh, but not the other. We just don't know which one is which. And we said, on the face of it, both of them shave both at the end of 30 days and at the end of 60 days. And that creates the problem on the face of it because one of them is shaving one time where it's not, he's not accomplishing a mitzvah and he's shaving his pace. Later on in the parak, we have the case where a person is Suffolk Tomei Mess and Suffolk Mitzoda, and he winds up having to shave four times. And again, you have the same question where he's shaving because of a Suffolk. So how does that work? So we started talking about yesterday the possibility that maybe Hakofas Kolorosh, maybe we would say that shaving the entire head, payas included, is not being over on that Isser, because maybe the Isser is only to round the corners of the head, meaning to shave off the payas and leave the rest of the hair alone. So therefore, when a Nazir shaves everything, payas included, maybe it wouldn't earn room. But Soda does the same thing. Maybe that wouldn't be an issue, and therefore he'd be able to do it even because of suffering. So now the Gemara says, Lema Hakofis Kolorosh Tanoi. Should we say that this question of whether Hakofis Kolorosh is considered Hakofa, should we say that it's in fact the Machlokas Tanoi? The Tanarabanan, because we have a Braisa that starts out, now we had a lot of what we're going to learn in these Braisas and in this Sugya is going to recapitulate what material that we already discussed on Daf Mem, Mem Aleph, Mem Beis, where we had the whole discussion about the Mitzoda shaving and the Nazir shaving and why we have the various words by the Mitzoda. So some of it is gonna cover that same ground again, but now we're gonna focus on this matter of Hakofas Kolorosh as it relates to that. So now, by the Mitzoda, the Pasuk says that again, as we learned before, a Mitzoda goes through many stages in becoming Tahor. One of the stages is that after the Kohen does the thing with the two birds and the water and the rest of that, so he shaves, then he counts 7 days, and then after the 7 days, he shaves again, and the next day he brings his korbanos. So now the Pasuk says that second shaving, he should shave, the Pasuk says, as kol sa'orei, all his hair, as yoshev, as ganev, as gabis enav, his head, his beard, and his eyebrows, as kol sa'orei yigaleach, and all the rest of his hair as well, which that's a classic example, by the way, of a klal, a prat, a klal. And that means not just those things, it's any place else on his head, any place else on his body where there's a collection of visible hair. Anyway, and then he tovels and brings his korbanos the next day. So why does it need to mention these individual collections of hair on the body? Why does it need to mention his head and his beard? Once it says all the hair on his body, then automatically it would include those. So the Braisa says, Roshe Matamad Leimar. Why does it mention separately Roshe, his head? So the fish and name is akifu pas roshchem. Since the pasuk says you're not allowed to round the corners of your head, meaning that you're not allowed to shave your payas, yochalach mitzora kain. You would think the same thing is true of a mitzora. Tamad lama roshay. Therefore, the pasuk tells you roshay and tells you therefore that. So without the pasuk roshay, you would have thought. So maybe he shouldn't shave his hair, maybe the hair of his head, maybe he'll shave the hair on the rest of his body and be Mekayim and Mitzvah that way, is how the Rosh explains it. Or Tosfos says that you would think that maybe after all, you would say that you taka don't need a posik to override that loisa, sir. But you would say, since Hakofas Kolorosh Shmo Hakofa, that it is considered to be over on that mitzvah. If you shave the entire head, or Shmo Hakofas Kolorosh ain't lo Shmo Hakofa rather. So maybe then the mitzvah should be shaving everything together rather than the other way around. So therefore, the Pasuk is telling you, by telling you the word Roshay, the Pasuk is telling you that's not going to matter, regardless whether you do that or not. Either way, you're going to be over on the Isser of shaving your payas, but in this case, it's Mutter because you're a Mitzvah. So that's why it says Roshay. V'tanya idach. Now another brayse says roshe matam ablaymar. What is the pasuk adding by the word roshe? What is it coming to teach us? Lefisha nemar gabe nazir. Because on the other hand, by a nazir you have the pasuk tar lo yavur aroshe, that a razor should not pass over his head. Yochalaf nazir mitzora kain. You would think the same is true as far as a nazir who is also a mitzora, that he's not allowed to shave either when he finishes with a tzaras. Tamid lomer roshe, and therefore the pasuk says roshe and tells us, in other words, that overrides that. So even though normally a nazir is not allowed to shave his hair, but he is not allowed to shave the hair of his head, but here we make an exception and say that he is allowed to. You have two different braises telling you why it needs to say roshe. One focusing on a regular yid who's not allowed to shave his hair, and the other one focusing on a nazir mitzora who also is normally not allowed to shave his hair. So my lav tanoi. So shouldn't we say then that these two brises, the two different views of these brises, represent tanoi? There are two different opinions of tanoim. Lamanda omami nazir, the one who says that you learn from nazir, that it's overriding even the lav and the esse of a nazir. Now normally we know an esse is only doicha lois esse. Normally we know, as we're going to discuss further, for example, as far as kilayim and tzitzis, normally an esse is doicha lois esse, but not a lois esse and an esse. Here, as the Gemara is going to point out later on, we have an exception where even though a nazir has both a lois esse and an esse, not to shave his head, nevertheless, the mitzvah of shaving for mitzvah overrides that. So we're going to explain further in the Gemara why this is a special case. But anyway, so you would say the second braisa that's learning from Nazir, they hold that shaving the entire head is not being over on the mitzvah of hakafa. So therefore, so if a person wasn't a nazir, you wouldn't need a pasuk to tell us that he's allowed to shave, because when he shaves, he's not being over on any iser. Therefore, that braisa would have to say v'chi osakra l'midchi es loisa sev esse. So therefore, we only need the pasuk to tell us that in this one case you can override a loisa sev and an esse. So that would be the one braisa. The idach, meanwhile, the first braisa would say savar akafas kalorish shma akafa. They would hold that it doesn't matter. Shaving the entire head is also being over on the iser. So therefore, even forget about a nazir, even a regular yid who shaves for tzaras would be normally over on this iser. B'chiyasakra. So the pasuk roshay comes the midchi lav greda. It comes to be overriding a plain lav where there's no other isurim. And telling you the concept even that esa doicha lois esa, which in that case then the two braises would be disagreeing on the underlying machlokas would be about hakafas kolorosh or not. If you say hakafas kolorosh shmo hakafa, then it means when a person does that he's also being over on the mitzvah of lois akifu, and therefore you'd need the word roisho to tell us that in this case it's not a problem. If you say hakafas kolorosh loish mahakafa, then you would say for a regular yid there's not a problem, but there is a problem potentially for a nazir, because after all he's not allowed to shave any hair of his, and therefore the pasuk would be telling us that for him it's mutter. So then the two braises are disagreeing on that point. But the Gemara says Amar Rabba. Rabba says not necessarily. Dekule alma hakafas kolorosh loish mahakafa. You could say that both braises agree that hakafas kolorosh is not hakafa. So they both agree that shaving the entire head, payas and all, is not being over on the it's not being over on the mitzvah. V'chi osakra gugan shehikif alav seif gilach. The pasuk wants to tell you. Suppose the person did the hair cutting piecemeal. First he cut off the payas. Then he ended up shaving the rest of the hair. So now on the face of it, he was over on the lav, and now he went and shaved the rest of the hair. And kiven de ilu galche b'chadz, but nevertheless, you would say the pasuk might be telling you kiven de ilu galche b'chadz zimna loy mechayev. Now, if he had shaved everything together, he wouldn't be chayev, because then we would say hakafas kolorosh is not shmo hakafa. So ki hikav lo v'seif gilach nami loy mechayev. You could argue then that even when he does it, that when he does it piecemeal like that, when he does first the payas and then the rest, maybe you would say also that he's not over, that the Torah is telling you with the word roshay, that even in that case it's not such a problem. So you could understand it that way, but in that case they would both be agreeing that a kofas kolorosh lo shma hakofa. But the Gemara asks, 1 second, mikosef kro hachi, does the pasuk write things like that? He didn't have in the case that you're describing, Rava, you didn't have to do it in that order. You didn't first have to shave the payas and then the rest. So how indeed can the pasuk be implying that would be okay and he hasn't been over on anything? Don't we have the rule that Rish Lakish said, which we've learned before, kol makam shata moitza esav aloy seseh, whenever you have an esse opposite aloy seseh, so you have to be over on the loy seseh in order to fulfill the esse. If actually the scenario is you could be makayim both of them and not be over on anything mutav, then that's better. Then that's how you should do that. If not, then the esser should come and override the lois esser. So, for example, let's say one example of esser doicha lois esser is kilayim betzitzis, which we're going to talk about soon. So, if you have a choice in the matter, whether to put woolen, whether you have a linen garment, for example, you have a choice whether to put woolen or linen tzitzis on it, then you should put linen tzitzis on it. That way, you're not over on any isser, and you're also makayim the mitzvah. Only if the situation was such that there's no other way to do it other than by being over the isser. For example, if you're wearing tzitzis that have tchelas in them, and tchelas of necessity is made out of wool, then you would have to be over on the lois esser in order to be makayim the esser, because this is a linen garment. So in Rava's example, What are we saying? You have your choice in the matter. You could choose to shave the payas first and then shave the rest, or you could choose to shave all of the head together. And Rava, you're telling us that everybody agrees hakofas kolorosh shma hakofa, that if you start with if you do all the hair together. Or if you do all the hair and then the payas, whatever, then you're not over. Then in that case, why would the Torah be implying that if you did it the other way around, payas and then hair, then you'd be potter? That would go against Rish Lakish's rule. Since you have a way of doing it beheter, the Torah shouldn't be allowing you to do it beiser. So that doesn't work. Ella, so no, the Gemara says you're right. We're going to say that everybody agrees that hakofas kolorosh is called hakofa, and therefore, regardless whether he shaves the rest of the hair first or the payas first, either way, he's going to be over on the isser. And nevertheless, the Torah is telling us that a regular yid who's a mitzora or a nozer who's a mitzora is allowed to do that. So why do we have two brises? Why do we have two different ways where one says roshay applies to a regular yid and the other says roshay applies to the nazir? So it would be like this rather. So the second brise is easy enough to understand. The first braisa therefore is saying that this is a classic example of esa doicha lois esa, and we have to learn that from Rosha. But umand mukim lekra lemidcha lois esa ve'esa. Now, what about though the second braisa, who says that in this case the esa of the mitzoda shaving is overriding even the lav and the esse of a nozir, because after all, a lav has a lav and an esse. So according to him, lav grey de menole, where would he know that a plain lav is overridden by an esse? You would say this particular case is an exception, that you're doicha even a loisas and an esse, but where would he know the basic concept? In other words, at the first brisa, we would say, where does he know the concept of esse doicha loisas from Roshay? But the second braisa that is saying that only Roisha is referring to the special case of a Nazir who's also a Metzora. So according to him, where does he get the general idea of Esa Dochalois Esa? And the answer is Yalef Migdilim. He would learn it from the Pasuk Gdilim Tasalacha, where the Pasuk says you should wear it sitzis. The Omakra Lois Silva Shatnez. The Pasuk says that you can't wear Shatnez, and then the next Pasuk says that you have to wear it sitzis. Vitanya, and we learn in a Braisa, Lois Silva Shatnez. So the Pasuk is implying don't wear Shatnez, hug Gdilim Tasalacha Mehem, implying, but with the next word, with the next Pasuk being Gdilim Tasalacha, implying that you can make Gdilim, you can make Tzitzis out of Kalayim. So there you go, Esedot Chalois Esed. Fine, we're still going to use Rish Lakish's rule that if you have a choice in the matter, you should avoid being Doicha Lois Esed. So if you can wear, for example, on a linen garment, you can put exclusively linen tzitzis, let's say you don't have tcheles, then fine, you should do that. But if you have tcheles, and that by definition is wool, then you're going to have to wear kilayim with tzitzis, and the pasuk is telling you that shatnez and tzitzis are placed one next to the other teaches us that you can do that. So that braisa then, the Tana of that braisa then will say that we learn that in general, and now by the Mitzora, we don't need a pasuk to tell us that a regular Mitzora can shave and be over on Lois Akifu, because it's another example of Esa Docha Lois Esa, and there's no alternative in the matter since he does need to shave all his hair. But the chiddush in the pasuk would be that even if he's a Nazir, and on top of that has the Esa of growing his hair long, nevertheless it overrides it for him too. Okay, so the Gemara asks, "Uman de nafkale meroshe my time ale nafkale migdilim." Nu, so the first braisa then. So he could also learn from gdilim. He doesn't need roshe to tell us esa doicha lois esa, because we see the same thing by gdilim by tzitzis. So why does he learn from that? Why does he need the word roshe? The answer is omaloch, because that tana of the first braisa is going to tell you that the smichos of gdilim to Kilayim is teaching us a different thing. L'chidir Rava hu da'osa, it actually comes to teach us Rava's Durasha. So meaning, in other words, Tosfa says, now, the point of the Gemara's question is that according to that opinion, if we're going to say now, right now the Gemara is assuming that everybody agrees, HaKofa's Kolorosh, Shema HaKofa, that shaving the entire head, Payas included, is also being over on the Loisese. So Tosfa says he would say you don't need a Pasuk to tell us that. If the Torah is telling us that a person is Chayev for shaving his Payas without the rest of his hair, there's no logical reason to think that shaving the Payas with the rest of the hair would be any more lenient. Obviously, the Torah is telling you to leave your Payas off limits. So now the question is, according to them, what is the word roshay coming for? And the question is why they're not learning from tzitzis. And the answer is because they're learning from gedilim. They're learning a different din that Rava said. The Rava Rami, namely, Rava pointed out a contradiction between the psukim. Ksiv benosnu al tzitzis hakonof. Now, one pasuk says in the parasha of tzitzis that we say every day, it says they should place on the fringe of the corner of the garment, they should place some tcheles. Now, the word hakonof is extra, because we just said before, earlier in the pasuk, it says so therefore, already we know that the tzitzis go on the corner. So it didn't need to repeat the word hakonof. Therefore we learn from that. The tzitzis have to be the same type as the corner of the garment. Meaning, in other words, if it's a woolen garment, it needs woolen tzitzis. If it's a cotton garment, it would need cotton tzitzis, and so on and so forth. It would be whatever min the konuf is in is what the tzitzis should be. There is, by the way, a machlokas aposkim in that. What about, for example, what if you have a garment where the main garment is made out of one material and the corners are made out of a different one? Which one do you go according to when it comes to tzitzis? So now the Gemara is going to point out soon, and the Gemara is going to point out in a minute that woolen tzitzis will pater any beged. But the question really is, what if you have, for example, a garment where most of it is made out of cloth and the corners are made out of leather, or vice versa? Leather is not chayev in tzitzis. Only garments that are made of woven material are chayev in tzitzis. And for that matter, you have an interesting machloikas aposkim about, for example, polyester garments, whether they're chayev in tzitzis, because even though the polyester is woven, it's made of the threads and woven, but it starts out essentially as one big sheet of plastic, and therefore maybe it should be considered the equivalent of leather in that regard. Anyway, the point is that, so let's say you have a leather garment with fabric corners, or the other way around, would it be chayev in tzitzis? So you actually have So in Shulchan Aruch it says that actually what you do is you go according to the corners. But then you have other achronim that argue that maybe not, that maybe it should go according to the main part of the beged. Anyway, the point is that the pasuk v'nostim al tzitzis hakonof implies that the tzitzis always have to be the same material as the beged, or as the corners of the beged. So if it's wool, then wool, if cotton, if silk, then silk, cotton, then cotton, and so forth. And then uchtiv tsemer upishtim yachdav. On the other hand, you have the pasuk in about shatnez, where the next pasuk after it is tzitzis, where it mentions that you can't wear tsemer upishtim yachdav, wool and linen together, implying that and because of the smichos with gdilim tasalacha would teach you that tzitzis can be made only out, that the tzitzis strings can be made only out of wool or linen. So which is it? The Gemara adds the word psil techelas. So the strings of techelas then would be placed together with that. Bach actually takes out those words psil techelas. But again, you have a pasuk that says that you can't wear wool and linen together, and then the next pasuk after that mentions tzitzis, implying that tzitzis are only wool or linen. So what is it? So if you have a cotton garment, do you put woolen, or do you put wool or linen tzitzis on it, or do you put cotton tzitzis on it? So he says haketzad. So Rava says, how do you reconcile that? It means tsemer upishtim poitrin bein b'minon bein shaloi b'minon. It means wool or linen tzitzis will pater a beged, whether they're the same species or not. So in other words, so you can use woolen. So whether the beged is wool, or whether the beged is cotton or silk or what have you, either way you can put wool tzitzis on it, or you can be linen tzitzis, or you can put linen tzitzis on it. So on the other hand, shaminin b'minon poitrin shloi b'minon einon poitrin. On the other hand, when it comes to other types of fabrics, only their min will pater only them, but not others. So for example, with a cotton beged, let's say, you have two choices. You could put wool, you have three choices. You could put wool tzitzis on it, you could put linen tzitzis on it, or you can put cotton tzitzis on it. But on the other hand, if for example, cotton tzitzis will work only on a cotton beged. If you make, for example, a silk beged and put cotton tzitzis on it, no good. If you have a woolen garment and you put cotton tzitzis on it, also no good. Only woolen linen can pater even shaloi b'minon. So now we would be learning that drasha that Rava is saying from the words from the smichos of lois silva shatnez and gdilim tasalacha. So in that case, then we wouldn't know from it the concept of esa deicha lois esa. So now you don't have a proof from that. So then you end up having to learn from the word roshoy. So now the first braisa then would say that's why you have to learn from roshoy. Esa deicha lois esa. That's why you can't learn it from gdilim, because he says from gdilim you're learning a different drasha, namely what Rava is telling us. So the Rosh explains further like this. In other words, he says that what happened? We've established therefore that the Eser of the Metzora overrides the lav of shaving your pace. If not for that, then if not for that, then we wouldn't actually say, so therefore, so ultimately we learn from Roshe. If it weren't for that, then the Rosh says we would have learned Rava's Drasha a little bit differently. We would have said that, for example, that a woolen garment can only have, that wool tzitzis, let's say, will only work for wool or for silk. It wouldn't necessarily tell us that you could use wool tzitzis for a linen garment, because we wouldn't yet know that esa delcha lo esa. In fact, you would say that maybe not. After all, you could say that you could still make it work, like Rava is saying, and use only woolen tzitzis and use woolen tzitzis only for wool or for any other material except for linen. Now that we know that the Torah is telling us esa delcha lo esa, so now we can say, which now the Gemara is going to point out soon, that this is a special essay because it doesn't apply to everybody, it doesn't apply to women, but nevertheless, at least we do see the basic concept that essay deichalos essay. Therefore, that allows us to say that with tzitzis also, you could conceivably put woolen tzitzis on a linen garment and be yotze, provided that there's no other way to do the mitzvah, like Rish Lakish said, namely where you're using tchevas. So according to that Tana, therefore, you can't, therefore, you need Roshe to tell us Esa Deichalos Esa, and if it weren't for that, you wouldn't even know the concept at all. You can't learn it from Gedilim, because he's using Gedilim for a different Derasha. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'hai Tana the Mapit L'Roshe L'Lav Greda. Well then, according to the Tana of the first Braisa, who says that Roshe is teaching us that an essay is docha regular loisese. So what about the osi essay docha es loisese ve essay menolon? So where would he know the case about the essay overriding the loisese and the essay? Namely, for example, by a nozir who's also a mitzora, and we're telling him that even though he has an essay, even though he has an esser to grow his hair and a lois esser to not shave his hair, nevertheless the shaving of tzaras overrides that. How would we know that? That's how the Rosh understands it. Tosfos explains that we're talking about, for example, we have the Isurim of a Koyin, which the Gemara is going to point out. The Gemara is going to go on to point out the Isurim of a Koyin are restricted only to Koyinim, and therefore it's kind of a weaker kind of lav. So not just the case of the shaving of a Nazir who's also a Mitzora, but where the other examples where an essa is doicha loisasa and an essa, where the lav is weaker. Fine, the lav may be weaker, but we still need to know how it's overridden. So according to the second braisa, we're saying that's exactly what the word Roshe is teaching us, that even a nozer who's a mitzvah shaves anyway. But according to the Tana of the first braisa, he's saying that Roshe is needed just for the regular case. A person is not even a nozer, but he has an issur to shave his payas, and now we're overriding that. So he learns regular essa deicha loisase. Where is he learning that there can be a case where an essa is deicha loisase and an essa? The answer is a Manolan. Where does he learn that from? So the Gemara answer is Nafgalem is Connery. He would learn it from the fact that it continues by the Mitzora that he also shaves his beard. And again, we talked about this previously on Daf Mem Nem Aleph Mem Beis about all that, about why it says Roshe and why it says Connery, and we talked about that extensively. So now we're bringing up that point again. D'tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Zkonoi Matam Adloimer. Now again, by the Mitzora, it says that he shaves his head, his beard, and the rest of it, and then the rest of his body. So why does it mention beard specifically? Since the Torah tells us regarding Koyanim particularly that they're not allowed to shave the corners of their beard, Yocholaf Koyan Mitzora Kade, you would think the same thing applies to a Koyan who became a Mitzora. So again, you have a regular yid has just a loises and not to shave the corners of his beard. Lois sashka says pasta konecha. A koyan, in addition, has the essay of Kedoshim to you, which includes what it says in the following psukim, including that he shouldn't shave his beard. So with a Kohen, there's an extra loisa, there's an extra essay involved. And nevertheless, so you would think then Tosfos says that maybe the Gilach Kol Sa'oroi, maybe the saying that he shaves all his head or all of his hair would be, let's say his hair already fell out for some other reason. Then, so now he can be shaving everything without being over on shaving his beard. No, Talmud Lomar Konoi, that is why it says Konoi, that even in that case, even when he has a full beard, he still shaves it off, even though there's an essay and a lois essay involved. So therefore, so the Tana of the first Braisa will agree with that Dirosha, and he says, there you go. So you have an essay of the essay of the Mitzvah shaving is Doicha the lois essay and the essay of the Koyan not shaving his beard.
I'm going to say that lima is only for a kohen.
Because the fact is that those psukim, those psukim, kedoshim to you and prasikonim le'galechu are talking about kohen. So therefore, we would say that, in other words, we would say you wouldn't need the word zikonoi to tell us the regular case where it's a yisrael who becomes a mitzora, because once we establish that Esa Dechaloisa said the same thing is going to be true as far as his payas and his beard, and we already learned from Roshoi that he can shave his payas, so automatically that would include his beard as well. But by the Koyan, where you have an Esa and a Loisa said, then you would need a separate limud for that, and for that you have the word zikonoi. The Gemara asks, well, then now the question becomes on the second Braisa. If we're saying that according to them, you didn't need the word Roshoi for a regular lav, because that you can learn from Dilim Tassalacha. They learned Dilim Tassalacha to mean that the general concept that you can wear tzitzis that are shatnas. So they said that Roshoi, the second Braisa, at the top of the Amud, said that Roshoi teaches you that an essay is doicha lois essay and an essay, namely the case where Nazir is a Mitzvah. So according to them then, so why do they need to learn it from Roshoi? Leilaf Mizkonoi, instead they can learn it from Zkonoi, like we just said. So the Gemara answers back, the Litai Meich, nu, and according to your Svara that you're asking the question, then you have to ask the Kaimalan Ba'alma. The fact is, we know it throughout Shas, the loy osse esse v'docha es loy sese v'esse. Normally, an esse does not override a loy sese and an esse. So, on the contrary, you should argue, leilaf mikoyen d'dochi. On the contrary, you should learn from a koyen that it does override it. So, why do we say that an esse is not docha a loy sese and an esse? So that's the question. Maybe we should say we have a binyan av from a koyin who's a matzora that it does override, and therefore in general throughout Shas we should say that it does override. And the fact is we're saying that not. Ella, rather, we have to answer. The reason why that's not a question is mikoyin lo yofinan. The answer is we can't really learn from a koyin. Because Malakoyan Shekain Lav Sha'ina Shava Bakolu, because after all, the Lav of a Koyan is something that doesn't apply across the board to all the Jewish people. Therefore, you could say that that's a weaker kind. So that's a weaker kind of loisese. So therefore, you would say that maybe that kind of loisese can even be overridden together with an essay by another essay. The Avner Nezer points out a point. Why taka should that be? Why is a lav that applies to all the Jewish people more serious than one that applies only to a subset of the Jewish people? So he brings, because the idea is, you know, we have, for example, when a person is not mechuyev in a mitzvah, he can't be motzi other people. For example, a person, a cheder shoyt of a cotton, who is not chayev in shofar, can't be motzi other people, whereas somebody who is chayev can be motzi even other people, even though he himself was already yotze. So you see, in other words, that when you have, now you could say an esse that applies to everybody, or a lois esse that applies to everybody, is more stringent because everybody is a raven to each other in it, whereas something that applies only to some Jews, then we would say that we wouldn't say on it koiso or raven zelazek, because it only applies to some of them. Anyway, the point is, so you would say the lav of a koyin is not shav of a koyin. So it doesn't apply to non-Koyanim. Even among Koyanim, it doesn't apply to their wives and daughters. So therefore, you could say that maybe it's overridden. Well, then, in that case, I will tell you, according to the Braisa that says that Roisha teaches us that Esa Deicha Loisa said Ve'esa, namely by a Nozir who's also a Metzora. You're asking why we don't learn from that to everywhere else. Well, you can answer the same thing. Nozir Mikoyan Nami Lo Yalif. Well, then you can't learn a Nozir from a Koyan either. Shekain Lav Sheina Shava Bakol. Because again, the Lavim of a Koyanim are not Shava Bakol, because they apply to only to Koyanim and only to male Koyanim, whereas a Nozir, in principle, anybody, a man or a woman can be a Nozir. In fact, the Gemara is going to point out soon that Nozir has a different weakness, namely the fact that Yeshne B'Sheela, because you can be Matur Neder on Nazirus, which you can't do on Kahuna.
And also, a woman cannot be a Koyan.
Right, that's what we're saying. In other words, Kahuna applies only to a small subset of the Jewish people, whereas Nazirus is more, whereas Nazirus is broader. So now, in other words, Tosfos says at this point the Gemara could ask that. Well, then, fine. Forget about a Koyan who's a Metzora. What about a regular Nazir who's a Metzora? Why don't we learn from him? And the answer is, as the Gemara is going to say soon, that because a Nazir is also weaker, because Yeshne B'Sheva. Okay, so now let's go back. Now let's go back to the previous opinion. Now the Tana of the Braisa, who says that the word Roisha refers to a regular Nazir, and refers to a Nazir rather, not a Koyan, but just a Nazir. That was the second Braisa that said that the word Roisha is not telling us about a regular Yid, but only about a Nazir, because again, according to him, we know from other sources, and we only need this limud to tell us that even by a Nazir. So then Lomali Zkonoi. So according to him, why do you need the word Zkonoi to tell us that it applies by a Koyan? Why can't we say that we could learn a Koyan from a Nazir? Once we say by a Nazir, Esa Deicha Loisa Esa Ve'esa, we should say the same thing by a Koyan. So now again, the Gemara could have answered at this point and say that now, by the way, Tosfos points out we were still talking within that opinion, so mandamukim is not really necessary to say. Mandamukim would be if we're going back to a different opinion, but now we're still talking within that opinion, so therefore it should say that it should have said something like according to him. What would he say? Why does he not learn that way? Why does he need the word zikonai? And the answer is l'chidatanya. He would say you need the word zikonai that teaches us what it says in the braisa that we said before. Zikonai matam adloimar. When it says zikonai, what is that adding? We know already that Metzora shaves all his hair, and we know already esa deicha loisa sef from roshoi. So l'fisha nemo fas zikonim lo yigalechu. Again, since it says by koyanim that they're not allowed to shave the corners of their beard, yochol af koyan metzora kain, you would think the same thing is true as far as a koyan who's a metzora, where again he has an essay and a lois essay to not shave his beard. Tamad lema zikonai, therefore the pasuk says zikonai, that even so, he still shaves his beard. But then he continues. So he would use the word zikonai to teach us that. And as the Gemara is going to point out soon, you can't learn it. You can't learn the koyin from the nazir, because as we're going to say soon, the nazir is yeshne b'sheela. You're able to be matur neder on nazirus, which you can't on being a koyin. But first, the Braisa continues. Umenolam de Matar. How do we know that when the Metzora shaves when the Metzora shaves his hair and his beard, that he does it davka with a tar, with a razor? And Tosfos points out you can't just learn it from the fact that a Nozir shaves with a razor. We're there, fine. We had earlier on Daf Mem Aleph, we had where it said, because it says Tar lo yavar arosh ad malos hayomim, a razor is not to pass over his head until the completion of the days, implying that up until that point he can't have a razor on his head. Fine, but the difference is though, we learned over there in that sugya that there was an opinion that said that a nozir in fact would be chayev when would be chayev malchus, even if he used other things other than a razor, even if he used a cream to remove his hair, even if he used scissors or a malchut or a hitney or whatever. So therefore, according to that opinion, then we can't learn from that, and we need a different limud to know how we know that Matsurda shaves with the razor, given that doesn't say by him the word time. So Manolan de Batar, de Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. When it says fast the konim lo yigalechu, when it says by the koyanim that they should not shave the corners of their beard, yocholach gilcha b'mesparayim yehi chayev, you would think a person is chayev even if he shaves off his beard with scissors, which don't cut all the way down to the root, yehi chayev. Tamad loyma, therefore the pasuk says v'loy sashkes, therefore by Yisrael the pasuk says you should not destroy the corners of your beard. The word destroying implies that you're cutting all the way down to the skin. Then e lois sashkis. Now, if you only had the pasuk lois sashkis, yochol lichten mamalket of rehitni chayev, you would think that a person is chayev even if he removes the hair with a malket or rehitni, which we talked about there on daf mem mem aleph, for various kinds of tools that are used for removing hair. A malket might be tweezers, or it might be a rehitni might be a plane that you use like for smoothing out wood, or they might be different other things like that that get the hair all the way down to the root. So you would think, because after all, there you have a shchosa. So Talmud Loimer or fast tikkunim lo yigalechu. Therefore, we have to go back to the koyanim where it says the word lo yigalechu. They should not shave. And that implies that they're not allowed to use something which is normally used for shaving. So therefore, so by combining the two things together, on the one hand, by the Yisrael, it says loy sashnis, and by the Koyan, it says loy galechu. So we learn that they're actually the same thing. What kind of procedure is giluach? It's a normal thing to use for shaving, and it involves hashkasa. Scissors is giluach, but not hashkasa. Malka to Rehitni is Ashkosa, but not Giluach, which is the only one that is both. Have M is a tar. So you have to say that it's a razor. So once we've established, based on this last Braisa, that the Isser of Ashkosas Zokin, the Isser of shaving the beard, is only when you're using a razor. So now we're saying that if the Pasuk is telling us with the word Zekonai, that you override the normal issue of shaving the beard for a Mitzorah, or even we said for a Mitzorah who's a Kohen, even though he has an Esa and a Lois Esa, automatically that means that the shaving has to be done with a razor. Otherwise, you could use a Malkut or a Hitni, and you wouldn't be Chayev, and you'd still be Mekayim Mitzvah. So we said they can be tweezers, they can be a plane, they can be different other kinds of instruments that are used to remove hair all the way down to the root, but they don't actually they're not normally used for that purpose. A person doesn't normally tweeze and remove all his hair, and therefore that's not included in loy galeich. There's a couple of different explanations. Rashi elsewhere explains that a malket is something more like a penknife. Whatever the case, the point is these are things that can be used for hashchasa, but they're not normally used for it, and therefore they're not included in giluach. So the point is, in other words, therefore. So we're learning because the Torah has to give us a heter for the Koyan, who is a Mitzurda, to shave, that alone implies that the shaving, this beard, has to be done with a razor. Otherwise, there would be a way to accomplish it without being over on the Isser, and the Torah wouldn't have to tell us that you're able to do that. So in fact, earlier in the Gemara, back on Daf Mem, when we started discussing this point, the Gemara thought to learn the Mitzurda from the Nazir or from the Levium, by both of them it says Tar. And we said that no, it doesn't really work because the Levium had a special thing that had to be picked up and waved, and then the Nazir has to bring Korbanos together with bread. So therefore, we end up having to have a separate limud for the Mitzurah, and this is one of the ways of learning it. So according to that Tana, that is why we need the word zakonoi, because without the word zakonoi, you wouldn't even know the concept that the Mitzurah uses a razor to shave his beard. You would have thought he could use something else. So we're using the word zakonoi basically for that. So therefore, so uh, because the Braisa learns this from the Kohen, therefore the Tana of the Udi or Braisa doesn't find a need to mention that you could learn it from a Nozir instead, because the Braisa that we just quoted is saying how we learn it from a Kohen, from the fact that you have the dinim of shaving the beard that it says by Yisrael versus that it says by a Kohenim, and by combining the two psukim together, we learn what's allowed and what's not allowed. So therefore, so we're learning it that way. In fact, Tosfos points out that the Gemara could say. On the other hand, the fact is that mitzvah of shaving the beard is not shava bakol either, because women don't have that mitzvah. But at this point, the Gemara is assuming, fine, that may be true. But on the other hand, sometimes you have something called shkulim hay. You have two possibilities that are equally weighted one way or the other. You could say that you learn from the koyin. On the other hand, you could argue the koyin is not shava bakol. You could learn from zikonoi, and say that it's mutter. On the other hand, zikonoi itself is not shava bakol either, because women are not chayim in it. So therefore, you wind up saying that in fact what you're saying is you are also to shave zikonoi, but nevertheless you're overriding it even for a koyin because he's a mitzvah, because this is a case where an esse is doicha lois esse and an esse. So we would learn it that way. Fine. Now the Gemara says, "Umanda mapekle lahai roshi lalav greida." Now going back to the first braisa at the beginning of the sugya, where we said that we had one tana who learned from the word roshi the basic fact that even that a person shaves his hair, payas and all, when he's a mitzora, forgetting about whether he's a nozer or a koyan or anything like that. We learned that. We use the word Rosha just to tell us that Esa Dechalois Esa. And again, we said that Tana cannot learn that concept from Dilim Tasimachal, because he uses that for a different Joshua. So you have to ask, according to him, Lomali the Michtav Rosha, but Lomali the Michtav Zkonon. So according to him, why does it need to say Rosha and Zkonon separate? Why does it need to say Rosha and Zkonon separately? Because the answer is mashma lemidche lav greida, because on the one hand we have since after all by mitzvah the Torah is telling us everybody has to shave, and whether it's a koyin or not, mashma lemidche lav greida. So on the one hand the pasuk can be implying that it overrides only a lav by Yisrael, or mashma lemidche loises ever esse. On the other hand, you could equally well say that it means that it's doicha the loises and the esse that apply to the koyanim. Hilkach shokol hu. So therefore, again, you have this example of shkulim where they're both equal. The avoyu shnehem, and therefore you can actually learn both of them. So the question would be then, why do we need the word zikonoi? So you're telling me Roshoy is teaching us that an essay is doicha loisese. You're going to tell me zikonoi teaches us that it's doicha loisese v'essay. But from Roshoy alone, you should know that, because Roshoy alone should apply equally well to a koyin or a yisrael. And if you're telling me the other way around, the word zikonoi, again, we're saying the word zikonoi can equally well mean a Yisrael who has just a loises and not to shave his beard. It can also include equally well a koyin who has an esse and a loises and to shave his beard. There's no reason to think that it means one more than the other, because after all, by the posik, by the mitzvah, it just says zikonoi in general, that he shaves his beard. So we would automatically assume that it means both of them. So now, what do you need the word roshoi then for? What is the word of the limit from the word roshoi adding? And the answer is, meaning, in other words, usually you have, we can't do two ribuyim from one pasuk, but where you have, when there's more logic to include one more than the other. But when you have shneim shkulim, when they're both equal, there's no particular logic to prefer one over the other, then we can say the Torah is implying that you should in fact be married by both of them. So the answer is, koyin min nozir lo yalif. The answer is you can't learn the koyin from the nozir. Shekein yeshne b'sheila, because after all, the isurim of a nozir in a way are weaker because he can be matur neder on his nozirus. Nozir mikoyin lo yalif, and vice versa, he's going to say you can't learn a nozir from a koyin. Shekein lab shein a shavu bakol, because again, the isurim of a koyin don't apply equally to everybody. because after all, it only applies to Kohenim and only to male Kohenim. So therefore, he would say you actually need two limudim, because otherwise you wouldn't have learned one from the other. By the way, now the Rambam has a different understanding why it is. We mentioned this before. Why it is by a nazir that when he's a mitzvah that he shaves, even though he has an essa and a lois essa, and the Rambam says the reason is basically because his nazirus, the kedusha of his nazirus, is suspended as long as he's a mitzvah, and therefore he doesn't have the essa. It's only a lois essa. So Mephoshim deal with why the Rambam needs to say that. And in fact, the Raivad asks on the Rambam that flatly goes against the Gemara over here. The Gemara over here is saying that it would be an essay and a lois essay, and just for saying this is an exception to the rule. So Mephoshim explained one point is that the Rambam's reason is needed for cases of Nazir where you can't be Matir Neder. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta, you have Nazirus Shimshin, where a person is going to become a Nazir like Shimshin, and we learned there that there's no Hatoris Nedor impossible for it. Because in Shimshon's original case, it wasn't something that he took on voluntarily. It was something that the Malach told his parents to do, and then his parents told him to do that. So we see that you can't be Matir Neder. So the Rambam's reason. So the Gemara's reason over here that Nazir is Yeshne B'Sheila wouldn't work for a Nazir Shimshon, and therefore the Rambam gives a different reason.
But if you say Shimshon was a separate, that most people don't have it.
Most people don't have that, but nevertheless, if a person says, I will be a Nazir like Shimshon, then that means that he can't be Matir Neder yet. So this Tana would say that you actually need two separate Limudim, one for a Kohen and one for a Nazir. And furthermore, you can't learn from them to other places in the Torah and say that in general that an essay should be doicha lav and an essay kidam moron, because like we said, each one has something weaker about it. One that it's not shava bakol, and the other that it's yeshne b'sheima. Tosfos deals in some detail with what the Gemara's question is, why you need the two different limudim. You could say, you know what, you need the limud by a kohen anyway, because again, without the words of fas sekonim lo yigalechu, you wouldn't know the whole concept that shaving the beard is also only with a razor, because again, lo yigalechu is what tells us that it's a razor. Otherwise, you would think a malkut and rehitni would also be chayev, and you need it to tell us that a mitzvah needs to do that. So because of that and some other questions, Tosfos says that what we're saying is once we establish that Zekono teaches us the concept that a mitzvah shaves with a razor, so now if we say going back to Roshay that it means that it's only over that it's only overriding a plain lav, how indeed do we know that a Nazir mitzvah or a Kohen mitzvah should shave at all? So therefore the Gemara is explaining, in other words, that we need that we have psukim that tell us that we have Roshay and Zekonei, and we're saying again that we learn from Roshay the basic fact that from Roshay alone we'll learn that even a Nazir Mitzora does that. But even so, Zekonei wouldn't be good enough to learn that, and therefore we wind up needing all the Drushas. So now Tosfos asks another point, which is, what is the Gemara saying at the end? We're saying Koyan has a weakness because it's Enesh Shavu Bakol. Nazu has a weakness because Yeshne B'Sheima. Therefore, you can't learn one from the other, according to this Mandomer. And therefore, you can't learn from there to everywhere else. What happened to Mahatzad? The Gemara often does that you can learn from Tzad HaShava. Yeah, so why don't we do that over here? We should say that, you're going to try to learn from a Koyan. You can't, because it's not Shavu Bakol. So you're going to say Nozir Yechiyach, instead prove from a Nozir where it is Shavu Bakol. You're going to say a Nozir not because Yeshin B'Sheyad. You're going to say Koyan Yechiyach, Chozu Adin, Lo B'Yizek Yerizeh, as the Gemara often does. And then you could learn from them to other things. So Tosfos answers that actually no, because by the Mitzorah, the fact is one thing that you have during the 7 days between the Mitzorah's two shavings, he's not allowed to be together with his wife. When the pasuk says the Yoshav Michutz LaOhaloi Shivas Yomim, he has to stay outside his tent for 7 days, and the Gemara explains that Oloi means his wife, so he's not allowed to be with his wife during those 7 days. So therefore the shaving of the mitzvah accomplishes shalom bayis, and therefore you can't necessarily derive from that So therefore, you could say because of Shalom Bayis, the Torah is making an exception and saying Esa Dircha Loisa. But you can't necessarily learn from that to other places in the Torah where you don't have that consideration. So that's where we leave it. So again, so we have a couple of different ways of learning depending on the different mandamers, but we wind up saying that
you need both.
You need Roshay and Skonay for different Dinoshes, and we wind up saying that yes, the rule is Esa Dechalois Esa. According to one possibility, we learn it from Kilayim and Sitzis. According to the other possibility, we learn it from the fact that a Mitzorah shaves his hair, every payas included. Then we say that even when it's a Nozer Mitzorah, even when it's a Koyin Mitzorah, where there's an Esa and a Lois Esa involved in him shaving his beard, nevertheless, he still does that. And so we see that in that case, Esa is Docha Lois Esa Ve'esa, and the same thing would apply to a Nozer who became, a Mitzorah. But in the end, we said that all of this is based on the idea that we would say a kofas kolorosh shma hakofa, that not only shaving the payas alone is also, but even shaving the whole hair, the whole head with the payas is also equally also. You shouldn't think that the issur is only loisakifu, not to round the corners of the head, meaning as long as there's no rounding because all the hair is gone, then it's mutter. No, we're saying that both braises agree that kofas kolorosh shma hakofa, a person would be chayav for shaving his payas together with the rest of his hair. And that, in fact, is the halacha. So it's not just you can't shave the payas and leave the rest of the hair. You can't shave the payas and the rest of the hair either. Okay. So now, having discussed this whole matter of shaving with a razor and shaving the hair and shaving the beard and whatever, so now the Gemara is going to digress, and we'll learn about this tomorrow, Beis Hashem, about the related topic of the related topic of shaving body hair. Is a man allowed to do that? We know, after all, the Torah tells us, lo yubash gever, that a man is not allowed to dress or beautify himself like a woman, or vice versa. So what are the dinim as far as that, as far as body hair? So the Gemara is going to digress, and we'll talk about that tomorrow, Beis Hashem.